Okay, here we go. Shvias Daf Lamed Aleph, and we have are a month into Shvias. Shvias Daf Lamed Aleph. As we continue our travels through Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi world, Shvias, if you remember, has 10 prakim. We are about a third of the way done. 87 daf here in Masechta Shvias. Today we get to start talking about something that we have not really touched on yet as we move a little bit from the Avodas HaKarka to dealing with the Peiros, Shvias, which comes up. So but first yesterday we were discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed Mizanev and Kotzeitz, right? Mizanev Bekfana, we spoke about clipping vines and cutting reeds. There was a machlokes, how far you have to distance it. Rabbi Yosef Luli says, Yarchik Tefach, we said that meant from the ground. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you could do it, Kotzeitz Kedarko, whatever you'd like, and we spoke about what the machlokes is. We'll talk more about that, Rabbi Hashem, today. Then we spoke about other days, about maybe others say when you cut the reeds, it has to be with a different type of kli, as the Brice had discussed. Just one Hosafa, on the one of the Mefarshim on the Mishnah, the Mishnah Rishona on the Mishnah argues with the Pshat that's given by the Mefarshim about Yarchik Tefach. Rabbi Yosef Glili in the Mishnah said, if you cut the reeds, you can be Marchik Tefach. So he quotes the Melech HaShlomo close Rabbi Yehosef that says, Pir Zekasha Tuva, Dihachi Avel Mimer Yagbia Tefach, Kmosha Av Kasav Lael. By Psula Shikama, it says, go up from the ground a little bit, Yagbia, Yarchik Tefach. So he thinks Yarchik Tefach just means you have to leave a Tefach more than what you how you normally cut. So wherever you usually cut, you're a farmer, you know exactly where you usually cut these in order to harvest them, to cut them, to use them. So whatever you do, you got to do it of tefach further up, so that it is clear that you're not doing a little shame working the ground. Okay, just to add that in terms of the pshat of the Gemara. Good. So the top of Lamed Aleph of an Aleph. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer Yarchik Tefach. Rabbi Kiva Omer V'chulu, as we just said. Machlokes Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, when you cut these reeds, or you cut these vines, Mizani Bekfanim, one has to either, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says you have to leave a Tefach, and Rabbi Kiva says, no, you could do it normally. So what's this Machlokes about? So the Gemara says, at first, well, maybe this Machlokes is connected to the previous Machlokes. Which previous Machlokes? On the previous Daf, on Chaf Tes Amabes. We had a machlokes between Bishamai and Bishilel about meidil v'zesim, about thinning. But thinning, remember, we are thinning the trees, taking out some trees because they were too tightly packed together. You want them to grow, the remaining ones to grow. And Beit Shammai says, you can cut out the trees, but you can't rip them out of the ground. You have to leave the roots. So Beit Shammai was machmir. And Beit Shilel says, no, you can even rip them out of the ground as long as you're doing one or two, not three. If you remember, that was Chavtasma base. So the Gemara is saying, well, there was a machlokes there, Beit Shammai and Beit Shilel, about dealing with the ground issues during Shemitah. So is that a parallel machlokes? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Aglili ke Beishamai. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who is machmir here, that you have to distance it. Yarchik Tefach. Does he all like Beishamai, who said in the previous Mishnah that you have to raise it to the ground but not rip out the roots? Rabbi Akiva ke Beishilel, and Rabbi Akiva is like Beishilel. Shall we line up this machlokes with the previous machlokes? And one might say, because after all, if Yudan Asi wrote the Mishnayis, maybe he's putting it in order. Here's a machlokes Beishamai Beishilel, and here's a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and they're parallel to each other. Right, we say there is Seder LeMishnah. Remember, Tosfos in a few places. First Tosfos in Bava Basra, if I remember, that the discusses the principle of Yesh Seder or Ain Seder LeMishnah. So there's a question in different Mesechtes. In different Mesechtes, maybe there's no Seder LeMishnah. The Gemara says sometimes, if there's a Machlokes in a Mishnah, and then a later Mishnah just quotes one of those opinions, Machlokes, V'yachriach Stam, that means if Yudan Asi is postulating like that Stam, like the anonymous Mishnah. He quoted the Machlokes, and the Mishnah Idiots talks about why do you quote a Machlokes in the Mishnah? Why do you just quote the opinion that we hold of? So, you have a Machlokes, and then you have a Stam, so you postulate like the Stam. So Tosfos suggests, maybe that only applies within one Mesechta. But in different Mesechtes, then you wouldn't say that. And that's what Tosfos gets into there. Are all the bubbies one Masechta, right? All the bubbies one Masechta, as is described in Maseches Kalim, which is the only 30 parak Masechta that we have today. But the first 10 parakim of Kalim are called Baba Kama, the second 10 are Baba Metzia, and the third 10 are Baba Basra. So what we call those Masechtas used to be Maseches Ezekin in a certain way. So here too, maybe that's behind what the Gemara is asking here. You have these two Mishnayos, not only in the same Masechta, but in the same parak. Are they parallel to each other? So the Gemara says, really? You're going to put Rabbi Yosef Lili with Beishamai. V'chein asinon masni Rabbi Yosef Lili kebeishamai Rabbi Yosef Beishilel. Can you say that? First of all, how can you say that? How can you put any shidu with Beishamai if they're not a Talmud of Beishamai? And number two, it doesn't seem to be parallel, because he says Yarchik Tefach. What does Yarchik Tefach have to do with, you know, cutting to the ground and not ripping out? Right? They happen to be a kula and a chumra, but they're not parallel. So says the Gemara, it has to be something deeper. So Ella, really, both opinions here are within Beis Hillel. Right? That Mishnah over there that spoke about thinning out olive trees. Thinning out olive trees, everybody agrees to Beis Hillel. That means, as long as you're only doing two, you could rip them out of the ground with the roots. But if you're machlik, if you take out three, so that's a problem. Fine, so everybody agrees to that. But here, the issue is, are we more machmir here, because it's a different type of case? Are reeds more concerning than the olive trees? Ella Rabbi Yosi Aglili chashash lavodas haaretz. He thinks that here, there's more of a chashash. There's more of a chashash that it looks like you're getting the ground ready to be plowed. And ripping out olive trees, maybe that's clearer that you're doing that to help out some olive trees. You're not doing that to plant or plow in between the olive trees. But here, ripping out reeds from the ground, Rabbi Yosef Lili thinks that's more of a chashash, that it looks like, as the Marafolda says, misakin akarka lacharisha. You're getting it ready for plowing. So therefore, it has a higher standard. Rabbi Akiva lo chashash lavodas haaretz. Rabbi Akiva is not chosheish for that, for avodas haaretz. Good. Keep in mind, Akiva, when we have Akiva here quoted often in the Mishnah, the Gemara, is spelled with a hey at the end of it. Spelled with a hey, and that reminds us of the Ur Zeruah, the Hakdam and the Ur Zeruah. Why are the Ur Zeruah? Yitzchak from Vienna, one of the great Ashkenazic Rishonim, named his Sefer Ur Zeruah, because right before he published the Sefer, he had a vision. And in the vision, he got an answer to a question that he always had. How do you spell the name Akiva? Because you didn't know, with a hey at the end of it or with an aleph at the end of it. So we nowadays, in the way that we write Akiva, we usually do it with an aleph at the end of it. But if you look at Mishnayis and the Gemara right here, it has a hey at the end of it. So the Ur Zeruah saw in his vision the pasuk Ur Zeruah Latzadik Ulishrei Lev Simcha, and the last letters of each of those words spell out Rebbe Akiva. Right? And the last letter of Simcha is a hey. See, he was so excited about that vision that he had, he named the Sefer Ur Zeruah. And that's why also we say that pasuk on Yom Kippur, because some say that Rabbi Akiva was killed on Yom Kippur. Ur Zeruah, Latzadik. But anyway, we have Rabbi Akiva here in the Mishnayis, being the more makel shita for Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Okay, says the Mishnah. So this Mishnah represents somewhat, at least temporarily, of a transition. Everything we've spoken about so far in the first 3.5 prakim of Shvius has been Avodas HaKarka. And there's more. But, at least for now, Avodas HaKarka. Remember, the first two prakim were all about Avodas HaKarka during Tosefes Shvius. Right? That was the first two prakim of the Masechta. Ad Emasai. Right? The first couple of prakim. And then, that had to do with the Avodas HaKarka. And this also has to do with the Avodas HaKarka, the past couple of prakim. How do you deal with fertilizer and how to deal with rocks? That was the third parak, right? Fertilizer and rocks. And then the fourth parak has been how do you deal with clearing out some of the area, and how about clearing out the trees in the forest, and how do you cut down, how do you deal with olive trees and reeds v'chulu. So now we get to a totally new topic. Me'emasai ochlin peiros ilan b'shvius. When are you allowed to eat the fruit of your tree during Shemitah? What do you mean, when are you allowed to eat it? Why wouldn't you be able to eat it? So peiros shvius has kedusha. And Peiros Shvius has to be treated in a proper way. We'll talk about all of this, Be'ez Hashem, but the Torah, the Gemara Darshan, Zipsachim, La'achla V'lo La'ibud. You have to eat it. You have to consume it. I shouldn't say eat. Consume it, but not destroy it. You're not allowed to destroy Peiros Shvius. Right? We can't spill it out for no reason. Right? Using Shemitah wine for Havdalah is tricky because you can't overflow it and just stick the candle in it, then it's going to get ruined. Is that called a normal usage of wine? That's a little tricky. Right? Any normal usage, as we've spoken about, can be okay, but if it's not a normal usage, so then it is considered to be Zayon and an Ibud of the Kedusha. So the Mishnah says, if the fruit aren't ripe yet, and I pick them before they're ripe, maybe I like unripe fruit that is not really food yet, that could be called ibud, because I'm not letting it get to its state of full benefit and status of fruit, So that's the Mishnah here. Meimasai Ochlin, when, from when? From when are they big enough to say, okay, this is a Shemitah fruit, and therefore I'm allowed to cut it off. Look at the Mara Folda. Meimasai Ochlin, Perishvias, Mishum Dechziv, La'achla V'lola Hefzid. He quotes the Gemara in Sachim, you have to eat it and not ruin it. V'i Achlan Kodem Bishulan, and if you eat it before they're truly ripe, Havila Hefzid, that will be called Hefzid. And therefore, when is the minimum? When is the minimum amount that I have to leave it on the tree, and only after that time I'm able to use it? So again, it's not just a general. Tosfos and Brachos talks about this. Maybe we'll touch on that in Tosfos and Brachos about the general Bal Tashchis, right? If I don't let fruit ripen and I pick it off, and maybe it's not really usable, there's general Bal Tashchis. This is not general. This is specific. This is specific lack and a prevention of Kedusha Shviyah. So we'll see if we have time later to talk about that. There is, just, again, whenever this comes up, we'll mention this many times in our travels. We definitely mentioned it on Daf Beis. I don't remember if we mentioned it in the past month. And that is the Ramban. The Ramban in the Hosafos. In the Hosafos to the Rambam, we know the Rambam came up with his 613. The Ramban knocked out a lot of those mitzvos. Not a lot. 90% they agree with. Just the 10% is the famous discussions of the Rambam and the Ramban about when there's a machlokas about it. So the Rambam does not count achilas perishvias as a mitzvah. And the Ramban does. The Ramban counts mitzvahs, I say, gimel, that he adds on to the Rambam's list. The Ramban says, Sha'am retar b'perishvias, v'haysa shabbat aris lachem la'achla. V'darshu, it's interesting what he would say. The first one he darshens is la'achla v'lo l'schora. You can't do regular business. There's a couple of drushas, but he does not quote first la'achla v'lo lehefzid, as we just had in the Ma'ara Folda, based on the Gemara Pesachim. But he says la'achla l'schora v'zed v'ar torahu k'mo shomer b'perek basher shel avodah zara nimsa p'reyachov v'peir shviyas. But he quotes a Gemara, not allowed to pay up a loan. V'atara amra la'achla v'lo l'schora v'chein b'mekomos rabim in a Talmud b'halashon hazeh. V'nechbal mitzvah zu ba'amri yisalev v'achlu evyonei amecha. The pasuk also says in Shmos, the poor of your nation shall eat perishvias. Shelo amar la avyonei amecha tazov osam. It doesn't say leave them. Ka'amru bleket v'shechacha. It doesn't say leave it for them. It just says they shall eat it. Avolashon achila maskir b'makasu b'chamakom. Hinei osa schor b'hem over b'asei. If you do business with them, you violate an iser asei. Iser asei. It doesn't say lo lachlo l'schara. So the shaila is, he doesn't call lachal lehefzid, the one we're talking about. And so how do you understand this mitzvah's asay that's added on? We have different understandings of mitzvah's asay in general. We have what's called a kiyam asay, and sometimes we have what's called an isser asay. A kiyam asay is a mitzvah to eat matzah, there's a mitzvah to shake a lulav, there's a mitzvah to blow shofar. There's a mitzvah's asay, to do something, simple. There's nothing negative about it. There's just do it. In isser asay is more focused, it's like a los asay that's camouflaged and dresses up in an asay form, in iser asay. The point of the iser asay is really not to do something. So it says, l'achol l'schora, the real key is don't do business in the normal way with perishmita. It doesn't really mean that there's a mitzvah asay to eat perishmita like matzah and like truma and like karbanos. No, there's an iser asay, not so much a kiyam asay. So what does the Ramban mean here? So that is a big discussion in the Achronim. But many say it's not really a kiyum asay in the same sense as the others because he doesn't quote lachavol lehefzid. If you quote it, eat it, don't ruin it, then he could say, okay, it means treat it with kedusha and eat it. But the fact that he quotes lachavol l'schora, maybe the isser is more of don't treat it inappropriately. Not as much, you know, eating it like matzah. Another raya to that is that you don't make a bracha. Right? We make a berachas hamitzvah when we eat matzah. Kohanim will make a bracha when they eat truma. Right, that's the last Rambam. The last Rambam in Ilchus Trumos. The Rambam says, last Rambam in Ilchus Trumos, the Rambam says, Kala ochal truma, mevarech birchas oso ma'achal, v'acharkach mevarech asher k'deshana b'kdushaso shel aron, v'tzivanu le'achal truma. Right, what do we do by matzah? We make a hamotz lech manaretz, then we say, asher k'deshana b'kdushaso shel aron, matzah. So when a Kohen is going to eat Truma Be'ez Hashem very soon, he's going to make a bracha of whatever bracha it is, Borei Pri Ha'etz, if he's eating grapes, or if he's eating wine, Borei Pri Ha'gafen, and then, Asher Kedushan Nebik Dushasa Shel Aaron V'tzivanu Lechol Truma. I don't know if he's going to say Ba'ava. Okay, Kaki Balnu. That's the Kabbalah that we have. This is the Rambam talking. This is unusual. V'kaki balnu v'ra'inum mivarchim afilu b'chalas chutz la'aretz. Shekam achilas kashi agvul ka'avoda. That's what he says. And then the Radvaz says here, so he says, you still make a bracha. You still make a bracha. And then the Mari Kirkus says, if you do it by truma, one of the Mefarshim say here, that you would do that by other things also, maybe by Ser Sheni and maybe by other mitzvahs. But Shemitah, we don't have a bracha. Peir Shemitah. So that might tip us off, that the Ramban himself does not quote a bracha, that might tip us off that even though the Ramban counts eating Shemitah fruit as a mitzvah asay, it might not be that it is a kiyum asay. Again, that's a discussion. Some give the impression that it is. The Chazon Ish assumes that it's not. And therefore, that is a nafkamina of a bracha, nafkamina of pachas mikazayas, nafkamina of who is the Isser Schora on the buyer or on the seller? And all of these are nafkaminas in terms of that. Rav Asher Weiss, as you can imagine, in the Sefer on Shemitah, discusses this. And also does not think that it's a kiyum mitzvah. He thinks it's more of an Isser Asay, like the Chazon Ish, like others. But his formulation is, as he has, one second, let me find here, in Simin... Here it is in Simin Yud in the Sefer. So he has all the different formulations. And then he says towards O Zion, he says, Da'av she'en mitzvah zaseh b'achilas peir shvias. Even though there's no mitzvah like matzah, like truma, v'yanimna me'achilasan vadeh she'en mevatel mitzvah zaseh, v'en kochiyah v'achilasan. If I don't eat it, I'm not mevatel a mitzvah. Ach mikom makom, if you eat, there's no chiyah v'mitzvah. But there's definitely a kiyah v'mitzvah. There's no chiyuv like there is matzah. But if you eat it, you are definitely doing something right and good. De'ein lecha kedusha she'ein bo yiyud chiyuvi el shlili bilvad. There's nothing that has inherent sanctity that there's no mitzvah to do something with it. Kedusha means, reflects, that there are negatives. Right, the more something is kadosh, the more you're not allowed to do certain things with it. Right, the kodesh kadoshim is the most holy, so you're not allowed to go in there. But he says, "Ein lecha kedusha she'en bo yiyud chiyuvi ela shlili bavad." V'kol ha'machalos hakadoshim, all holy foods are not just about don't mess up with them. All holy foods have some idea of consuming them. Ein kedushasam ela lachilas mizbech o lachilas adam. V'din peir shvius kedin truma. And then he says, he says sources for this, and he quotes others. But anyway, that's his formulation. Okay, with six or seven pages there to back it up. Let's continue. So with that background, we get into this section of the Masechta, Peir Shvius. So moving away from the Isser of working the land, but we know the fruit itself has Kedusha. And we said a couple of days ago that the two might not be connected. Remember we had... on the bottom of yesterday's Amud, Chaf Tesma Beis, we had a machlokas, whether there's an Isser about planting non-fruit-bearing trees during Shemitah. Note on Ilan Srach, we paskin, yes. Remember the Rambam and the way that the Rambam understood there was a previous machlokas, so this one also must be a machlokas, right, paskins, that even if there's no fruit involved, there could be an issue of Avodas HaKarka. So those two are not connected. Okay, so Bemis Eichlam Beir Zilam B'Shviya, so when does the Isser start? And before this time, they're too early. Ha-Pagim, so if one has Pagim, which are unripe figs, Mishe Zrichu, when they start shining a little bit, when they start getting a little red. Ochel Behen Pito Basada, at that stage, they're semi-ripe, and you're allowed to eat them in the field. You're not allowed to bring them into your house yet, because they're not fully ripe yet. But if you want to snack on a little bit about them, you're allowed to have them in the field. Look at the Marafolda. Ava ochla b'mesada. Ava lalaki dulhachnis. Labayis ein rashayad gemar bishulam. To bring them into the house, like in large chunks, so that you have to wait a little more. But right when they come a little red, you can eat them in the field. Bichilu, that's a later stage, right when they grow more, konis l'tof beiso, then you can bring it into your house. And our Gersa, the next line, v'chein kayotze b'hen b'shar shnei ha-shavua chayev b'maisras. And so too, these are the shiurim in other years when trying to figure out when does the chiv of maisras kick in for other fruit, right? So the figs, well, this is when it's considered a fruit lagabe peir shmitah, and this is when it's considered a fruit lagabe chiv maisras. The Rambam seemed to have a different Gersa. Right? We have the gerusa of starting with the word v'chein. There's a hole that goes to the end of the line. And similarly in other Shnei HaShavua. If you look in the Rambam seems to have, again, a different gerusa, how he understands this line. Where's the Rambam? The Rambam here says, in Hei Tazayin, in Shemitah. Right, the unripe figs. He has that as a continuation of the previous line. Meaning, and the same would be for similar types of fruit. V'chein kayotze bohen is going on the previous line. And then another line, b'shar shnei shavua chayivim b'maisrus. Right, so that's, again, it does the last line is the same meaning, but the Rambam says that this is not a special din of figs, it must be, it applies to all similar types of fruits. That's how the Mefarshim and the Rambam say he must have had that girsa. Good. Mahu bichilu. So the Mishnah said, once it's Misha Yazrichu, when it starts shining a little bit and is a little red, then you can eat it in the field. But once Bichilu, so then it can be brought into the house. So what does that mean? What's the stage of Chibar? Ba'amar Chayasa, when it gets big. Chayasa is when it gets big. Kamad Tamar, like the Pasuk says in Zechariah. In Zechariah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset at the Rishayim, v'gam nafsham b'chalubi, their souls have become b'chalubis. That means that it's become big. What do I mean big? Look at the Rasirlio. V'gam nafsham b'chalubi, gadla alai v'kveda. They're so heavy. These Rishayim are weighing on me. Weighing on me. Gadla alai v'kveda. Adam akatz b'davar, something that's disgusting to a person. Nirlo kigadol. It appears very big against him. V'chena te'enim. So too, the Tainim, when they get bigger, they're called Bochel. Right? And then he quotes the Mishnah in Nida also, that Bochel is a stage of development for female anatomy too, but that's Bochel. Okay, that's big. Period. Ksiv. So now the Pasuk says, how do we know? We're going to try to find the remes. How do we know that there are different stages of development? One is okay, one is considered a fruit for the field, and then one is considered a fruit for the house. So, here we go. Listen, look at this. We're going to flip around a couple of words in the Girsa. First we have, Ksiv, there are two psukim. Ksiv elohem techav lechai asher bartzecha, kia kol tfuas alechol. One pasuk says that to your animal and your chaya in your land, then your tfuas should be to eat. Animals, behemos, explained the Rashi earlier, are usually in the house. Right? Behemos are in the house, they're domesticated. Chayas are outside. So one pasuk says behema, which and tfuah, that sounds like in the house. So you see the next line, viksiv, the next line of the Gemara, we're just going to put that up here. Viksiv min asadeh tochlu as tfuasa. And the other pasuk says, no, from your field you should eat the tfuah, which sounds like it's just in the field. So is it in the house or is it in the field? So, Reb Chiya Barba Amar, shtei tfuos, achas min abayis, viachas min asadeh. So there are two measurements. There's one where it's ripe enough to eat in the house, and one, well, it has to be a later stage, and one where it is just to eat in the, where you can still eat it in the field. Okay, period. Reb Yossi Bar Chanina Bayi. Reb Yossi Bar Chanina asked the following, Pagin, ma'olasos min melugma. Right, what is this referring to? Look at the Pnei Moshe. Mishub Tzadina Lekaman, we're going to have at the beginning of the 8th parak. Kala ochlin miyuchadim la'adam, ein osim ha'em melugma l'refuah b'shvias. So we're going to learn that if you have something that's good for food during Shemitah, so use it for food. Don't make it into medicines. Don't make it into malugma. Oh, I'm sorry, or malugma is even like a bandage, right? So you can't go down in usage. So, because that's considered la'achlo lolo malugma. So here, do we say, when it reaches that early stage in the field, is it really full-fledged perishvias and you can't make it into malugma yet? Or it's kind of in the middle stage. It's food enough that you can eat it in your field, but you can still make it into malugma. And that's okay. That it wouldn't be a full-fledged pre that iser would kick in. So Hilkaf boy, I'm just still reading the Pnei Moshe first. Mi neima, do we say, since it's considered food that you can eat in the field, then it's usher to make it into malugma. O dilma, since you can't bring it into the house yet, which means it's not fully considered food, then it'll be mutter. then it'll be mutter. So that's how the Prey Moshe understands this line, and he says, Velo Efshita, the question is not answered that we're about to read. Some of Farshim in the back have a different reading of the Gemara, but we're going to go with the Prey Moshe. So again, back to the Gemara now. Boy, pagin, ma'olasen melugma, can you make it into melugma? Me'achar shu'ocha me'pito basadeh, yehei asur. On the one hand, maybe, since it's already considered food, that in the field you could cut it and consume it, so it's considered perishvias already, and therefore it's asur to make it into melugma. Or, oh, me'achar shu'machrisen latoch habayis, or, since, you could add in a word here, she'ein machrisen latoch habayis, another sheet in this house. You can't bring it into the house yet. It's not fully ripe yet. Then mutter, yay mutter, it'll be mutter, because it doesn't have the full-fledged status of peir shvias. So that's a question that is unanswered. Once we're talking about different stages of development, so the Gemara brings in Mishnayos from elsewhere that also talk about stages of development. This is a Mishnah in Uksin. Always have to be very excited when we have Mishnayos and Taras, because there's no Bavli or Yerushalmi on Taras. So we get to focus on them right now. So the Mishnah says in Uksin, what is Uksin about? Also, it's about appendages to various fruits or vegetables. By the way, I forgot to mention, we're talking about Pagim. The Mishnah spoke about when does Perish Shvius have Kedusha. It doesn't talk about Yarkos Asadeh, because that's all Svichin. Right, that wouldn't have Kedusha. It's also to eat it if it grows during Shemitah. So that's why the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos talk about it's only Peros Ha'ilan, not Peros Ha'aretz. Okay, so Taman Taninan, Ha'pagin Va'Boser, so Pagin, same word. So, but at this stage in the Havamina, we think Pagin really means all fruit. Ha'pagin Va'Boser, early ripening stages of fruit. Boser is early ripening grapes. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Betami Tumas Ochlin. It already is Betami Tumas Ochlin. It already has the status of food and can become Tame. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Omer, Mishi Yavol Onas HaMaisers. No, only later. When it grows more than Pagin has to grow, I don't know, Onas HaMaisers, we'll get to what that is, a third or so, says the Gemara. Tani Kan Miyad, the Mishnah in Uksin says, according to Rabbi Kiva, right away when it's Pagin, for less kan miyad. Like, what, how, does that mean literally? Very early? It's not a food yet. Rabbi Akiva, what's your shear? How could fruit that is like totally not ripe yet, you know, how could that be mitami tumas ochlin? So, Rabbi Hananiah, Bishir, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, biv page te'enim himas nisa. The only discussion in that Mishnah of Uksin is about figs. Figs, even when they're early, so they already have the status, like our Mishnah. Take the word pagin literally. It's only early figs, so that has the status of Tumas Ochlin already, and also for Shemitah. Habishar kala pagin, but other early ripening fruit, you're right, even Rabbi Akiva would agree. Eina matamin Tumas Ochlin, that she have olon as a maestros. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree to that. Period. Amar Rabbi Yosa, Masisan Amar Kain. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, proves that also, because what does our Mishnah say? Hapagin mishe yazrichu ocha ben pita basadeh. So you see, dafka by early ripening figs. Good. Rabbi Pedas b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, hakol modim b'shviyis. Rabbi Yochanan says, both shitas of the Mishnah in Uksin, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, they both would agree by Shemitah. What would they agree to? Remember, what's our machlokas? Early ripening figs, are they mitami tumas ochlin? Rabbi Kiva says yes, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri says no. So Rabbi Yochanan says they both would agree by Shemitah. They both would agree that what? So, ma'akom odin, what would they agree to? Chavraya amrin she'enon mitami tumas ochlin. Wow. What's Rabbi Yochanan saying? Rabbi Yochanan saying, in every other year of Shemitah, right when these early figs grow, Rabbi Kiva says, mitami tumas ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri says, not yet. But in the Shemitah year, where let's say there's a lachadchila to bring it into the house when it gets more ripe, then even Rabbi Akiva would say, because this year these fruit have kedusha, it's not matami tumas ochlin until later, until it gets bigger. Even though in all other years we say that it's already matami tumas ochlin when it's at the very early stage pagin, but Rabbi Akiva would agree that even though it's edible in the field, and our Mishnah says you're even allowed to eat it in the field, but full Tumas Ochlin, that doesn't happen until later because of Shemitah. Look at the Mara Folda. Shadim Matam and Tumas Ochlin. Howel ve'eno rashay lochlin bebayis, since you can't eat it in the house yet, lo have ochel gamur. It's not ochel gomri. It's not full food yet, and therefore it's not matamei tumas ochlin. Mashenki mishar shnei shavua shochlan avabayis. Other years, there's no reason that's preventing you to bring it into the house. So you bring semi-ripe fruit into your house. That's fine. Just pay reshmita. We want it to become fruit with kedusha. So therefore, it is. You have to wait until it gets bigger. It kind of reminds me, it's the opposite of achshaveh. What's achshaveh? Achshaveh means when I usually have something that's not so significant, but I do something to it to give it subjective significance. Remember the Rashi, beginning of Hamatzniyah in Shabbos, Tafsari. Mishnah Hamatzniyah. Usually there's a minimum shear, there's 50 blot about this in Shabbos, about the minimum shear of what you have to carry out of something, hotzah. You have to carry out this amount of glue and this amount of candle and this amount of... But then the Mishnah says, what if you are very into seeds and you have one seed that you're very... It's very beloved to you. One sesame seed. So the Mishnah says, if you carry that on a Shabbos, you're chayav daraisa. Why? Rashi says two words. Taha achshaveh. Because you will machshiv this. If you're machshiv something, then you can give it status even if it inherently doesn't have status. That's achshaveh. The Chacham Svi says that's the principle of Chatzi Shir. Achshaveh. Meaning if I eat a half a shear of something, so then the Chacham Svi says, you know why Chatzi Shir is also in the Torah? Because the fact that you ate a Chatzi Shir means you've done something to show that you're into half a Kazayas. You think half a Kazayas is significant. The Achronim wonder, the Chacham Svi. I don't know, the Gemara gives two sources for Chatzi Shir. Why do you have to give a third one? Right, the Gemara says, in Yuma, kol chelev, or chazi l'starufe. And the Chacham Svi comes up with a third one and says, no, it's based on achshaveh, and therefore that's why he says there's no chatzi shir by bayir rabbi yimatze. Because you didn't do anything, you just had it in your house. That doesn't show that you think it's significant. If you eat a chatzi shir of something, so that's when you're going to have achshaveh. But again, that's a question, why, where the Chacham Svi got that from, in Siman Peivav. But this is kind of an opposite achshaveh. This is because this year, this is not chashuv. Until later, so we're going to take away its chashivas, and we're not going to consider it a food, even though in all other years it is a food, because in this year we want to delay it until you bring it into the house and it gets full fruit status with Kedusha, so that's why we're going to undo its status of Ochel, and we're going to make it like the anti-achshaveh. The anti-achshaveh, we're going to wait with it. Okay, we'll have to stop here by Kor, when we talk about hearts of palm, and B'nai Hashem, we'll continue that. When we get to the heart of Shemitah, Shviyas, tomorrow's Lamed Beis. The heart of Masechta Shviyas is tomorrow, the Lamed Beis. B'Hashem, we will continue.